All this week we've been looking at Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. If you'll open your Bible there with me, I'd appreciate it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. The Bible said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We've looked at that verse. We looked on Sunday morning where he said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We looked how that God fills us with good things, with the things that are pleasing to him and beneficial to us. Tonight I'm interested in that word "shall." That word "shall." Because I'm glad that I can stand up here with confidence and say that sometime this week God is going to pass by our way. God did not lay it upon Brother Richardson's heart to have this camp meeting just to occupy time. But he laid it on his heart because God plans on meeting with Grace Baptist Church this week. Now, there'll be a lot of preachers that'll come in Thursday and Friday. And if you're not careful, you will find yourself getting lost in the congregation. But that's not the will of God for this week. The Bible said they shall be filled. Open your Bible with me to Jeremiah chapter 33. And look at verse number 3 with me. It's a very familiar verse of Scripture. But he said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Today as I studied that verse, I really fell in love with that statement, "which thou knowest not." He goes beyond our expectation. He goes beyond what we think is even possible. And he will answer thee. Mark it down, write it in a note, do it any way you want to, but he will answer thee. Turn back, if you will, in your Bible to chapter 29. And verse number 12 of Jeremiah. 29 and verse number 12. The Bible said, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart." I like that part where he said, "I will hearken unto you." We don't have to talk God into doing his part. God is going to do his part in this meeting. He's going to meet with you. And I think it's very important that we look at these verses because he said, "Then shall ye call upon me." Yeah, I think it's necessary for a child of God to put themselves in position to call upon the Lord. God doesn't just pick out someone by random. He manifests himself unto those that seek him. And I would encourage you to use this altar. The altar is two things. First of all, it's for people in trouble. It's a wonderful place to get your life straightened out. Amen? It's a wonderful place. But this is also a place where you seek God. You seek His presence. You seek His blessings. You seek Him, His face, upon yourself and upon your family. So the verse says, then shall you call upon me. If you're not calling upon the Lord, you cannot expect Him to manifest Himself to you. Amen? It just doesn't work that way. And then in Psalms 91, verse 15, if you'll turn there with me. Psalms 91 and verse number 15. I like the beginning of this chapter because he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall cover thee with the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Look down in verse 15 of that chapter. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. First of all, he said, it's a place of trouble. If your life is trouble tonight, this altar is where you need to be. But secondly, he said, I will deliver thee. Sometimes we go through trials. We go through temptations. This is a place to come and seek the face of God and ask Him to deliver us in a time like that. And then lastly, he said, and honor Him. God will honor those that use this altar to seek His face. And I especially like the part where he said, He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. You mark her down. I will answer him. Just one more verse. I'm running you through your Bible tonight. But Luke chapter 1, verse 53, if you have your Bible open, I want you to see this verse. And then that'll be my last verse to show you. Luke chapter 1, verse number 53 in your Bible. Look what he said. He hath filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent empty away. He hath filled the hungry with good things. Can I word it like this? God packs good things. He is a possessor of good things. And when He comes and manifests Himself, He will bestow good things upon the hungry. Amen. But let me end with the last part of that verse, because it says, and the rich he has sent empty away. Now that's opposite of the way that you and I would say it. We would say it like, and the rich he has sent away empty. But he didn't say away empty. He said empty away. Denoting that he sent them away because they were empty. Empty of what? Of hunger. That's what the verse is about in the first part. Of a hunger for God. So I want to encourage you while Brother Kenan preaches tonight that we'll have an appetite, and instead of having a reason to use the altar, let's find a purpose in using the altar tonight and see if God won't bless our appetite and our hunger for Him. Thank you, Brother Lawrence.
Nothing like encouragement from the Word of God. And those are good words. We appreciate that. Sunday morning, Sunday night, last night, tonight. And we thank the Lord for the Word of God. One little verse spreads a big table for us. More than we can take. And thank the Lord for that. Do pray for Miss Linda Polly. I meant to mention that a while ago. She is back in the hospital. And so pray for her. She's not doing very well at all. And so continue to pray for Linda. Ask God to be with her, give her strength and healing to her body. All right, let's have another song. Let's all stand together as we sing this last song.
Number 398 in the Red Book, Glory to His Name, 398. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
All right, you can be seated tonight. I'm glad we can honor the Lord. Glory to His name. Certainly shouldn't be glory to any other name, for there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that the name of Jesus Christ. And so we are glad and blessed to be able to be in the Lord's house tonight once again to hear the word of the Lord. If you were here last night, I know your heart was blessed. I'll tell you what, that was a great message. I thank God for the message of the Lord. And if you did not hear that, we'd be glad to make you a copy and get that to you, because I believe that everybody, every Christian, ought to hear that message concerning where we are, what's taking place, and what the Lord's going to do for us. Brother Ken, I've heard preach a number of messages as good as I've ever heard anybody on those verses, and thank you so much for the being in tune with the Lord and give us what we need. And I pray God will do that for us again tonight. So if you would tonight come and be with us. Amen. And we certainly are thankful that you are here with us in our presence once again.
God bless you. Well, it's certainly an honor to be back with you again tonight. And if you would open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. We'll read a portion of Scripture from these verses tonight and pray that the Lord will speak to us. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And when you find it, if you can and are able, would you stand in honor to the reading of the Word of God? Hosea had the people of God to stand while the Word was being read. Verse 30. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered. And he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up weeping as they went. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Ahushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. If you would, look at the first verse of chapter 16. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisin, and 100 summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. Our Father, I pray that You'd bless the reading and the preaching of Your Word this night. Thank You for, Lord, what we've already heard, and Lord, for those great words that Benny gave us there in the Bible. And Lord, I pray You'd have Your will and way tonight. Speak to us. Lord, would You use Your servant tonight? Anoint me with the Holy Spirit. God, hide me behind the cross. Help me to preach as a dying man to dying people. God, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And Lord, we're thankful for that cross upon which our blessed Redeemer died. God, have Your will and way in all of our hearts tonight. Revive us in these days. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bible open here to 2 Samuel chapter 15. I want to preach tonight on just a little past the top of the hill. Just a little past the top of the hill. David here, as you know, is probably in one of the deepest and the darkest valleys that he's ever been in. No doubt it was difficult for David. We have here a fool's rebellion because Absalom has led an insurrection and a revolt against his father David. You see, there was a time when Saul had cast javelins at David, but now it's become a little darker in David's life, especially after David has committed adultery with Bathsheba. And we know the heartache that came out of all of that situation, how that the baby died. Tamar, David's daughter, has been raped by her brother Amnon, and now Amnon has been murdered by Absalom. You see, friend, you and I can't sin and it not affect others. The Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You can't get away from the fact that, be sure, our sins
will find you out. But now Absalom steals the hearts of the people here in verse 6. And here in this chapter, Absalom plots to overthrow David's throne, and things have come to a fester, and chickens have come home to roost, the old saying is. There's not only the fool's rebellion here, but we also see the father's remorse. Now David is weeping as he and his family and those that follow him are forced to leave the city of Jerusalem. And God has taken David, I'm convinced, to the woodshed. But when you get to chapter 16, you find the faithful response of the servant of David. Ziba is going to come to David's aid. But it's only when he gets just past the top of the hill. Now you and I have got to understand something tonight. There are hills that we must cross in the Christian life. God never promised you and I in the Christian life that it always be smooth sailing, that it would always be peaches and cream. There are valleys, dear friend. There are heartaches and disappointments. There are tears and there's times of weeping. That's all part of the Christian life. There are some steep hills that you and I will have to cross in the Christian life. Sometimes the hills, they're hills of defeat. There's hills of despair. There's hills of disappointment. And there's hills of depression. But hills in the Christian life do come, and they have to be crossed. But there are some help, my friend, that is comforting. For David here is at a place that he feels like that there is no help. But when all hope is gone, I'm glad that help is always on the way. When you and I can't put one foot in front of the other. In other words, when we don't know which way to turn and we don't know which way to go, I'm glad that God, the Holy Spirit, will never abandon us. But the Holy Spirit will always bring us safely to the place that we need to be. And so we find here that when David gets just a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba meets him. You say, preacher, who in the world is this character by the name of Ziba? Well, you remember, don't you? Back there in 2 Samuel chapter 9, David has ascended to the throne. Saul has died, and David has now become king. And as David sits upon the throne, David begins to reminisce. And he says to Ziba, is there any yet that are the household of Saul that I may show kindness to him for God's sake? And Ziba said, yes, there is one. That's Jonathan's son who is lame on his feet. David says to Ziba, where is he? Oh, he's there in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in the land of Lodibar. You see, Ziba is a beautiful picture and a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Ziba knew exactly where Mephibosheth was. You see, the word Mephibosheth simply means a breathing shame or a stench in the nostrils of God. Hey, Mephibosheth is a picture of you and I when we were lost and we were without God. But oh, aren't you glad that Ziba, the Holy Spirit, knows exactly where to find us? And so Ziba says that he's down in Lodibar. In other words, he was a cripple by the fall. In other words, it was caused by another. You remember when Saul died and Jonathan died, Mephibosheth's nurse picked him up at the age of 5 years old and began to run with him. Somehow she must have dropped the child and he became lame from that day forward. Now David is king, and he wants to show kindness for Jonathan's sake. And so Ziba knew exactly where he was. And David said, I want you to go. And I like what David said. He said, I want you to fetch him. I like that country term, fetch him. In other words, lay hold on him. I'm glad the Holy Ghost came my way on May the 20th, 1962, yonder in the foothills of Virginia in a coal mining camp. Thank God the Holy Ghost found out where I was and He came by my way. And so there's some, my friend, help for comforting. There's hills that must be crossed, but there's hope that is coming. David probably thought, no doubt, in this story, man, I'm going down in disgrace. And the people that were with David and his warriors may have thought, why didn't we stand and fight? Why are we going by the way of the wilderness? But here, David, my friend, has begun to ascend this hill. And my friend, he's climbing, no doubt, the highest hill that he's ever climbed. And my friend, he does not know what's on the other side. He does not know what he's going to encounter just past the top of the hill. He's not able to see just around the curve. He's not able to see over top of the hill, but just over top of the hill. Thank God there's provision. Thank God there's help for David. Thank God there's hope for him just past the top of the hill. And so we find when he gets to just past the top of the hill, he's not going to have to worry no more. There's some donkeys that he can ride. There's some bread that he can eat. And there's some wine to refresh him. But it's all just past the top of the hill. Now, I don't know about you tonight. You may have walked in this place tonight, and you may be climbing one of the highest hills that you've ever climbed. My friend, we often have to go through valleys, and often they're deep, and also often they're very long. But can I tell you, there are some hills in the Christian life, and it seems like they just wear us out. But I don't know what kind of hill you may have faced in the days gone by, or you may be facing right now. But I want you to know, sometimes the hills that we face are our own making. We know that David here, the part of the difficult on David was of his own part. And so, what is the hill tonight that you may be climbing? Perhaps it may be a wayward son or a wayward daughter. But that hill is a hill seems like with defeat and despair and discouragement and depression. But it's causing some difficult in your life. But I tell you, if you'll follow the good God of glory just past the top of the hill, can I tell you tonight, if you won't give up, if you'll just keep on keeping on, just past the top of the hill, thank God there's help. Thank God there's hope. Thank God there's provision. But here's the question tonight that we need to ask. How do we get past the top of the hill? How do we get past the top of the hill? Number one, if you want to get past the top of the hill and get all that God wants you to have, first of all, you gotta keep walking. You just gotta keep walking. And that's what David done here. Look in verse 30 of 2 Samuel 15. That's how David climbs this hill. That's how David gets to the top of this hill. In fact, that's how David gets past the top of the hill. He simply kept walking. Verse 30. And David went up by the ascent of the Mount Olivet. He kept walking. In other words, David knew what God had said in days gone by. David knew what Moses had wrote over there in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4. He said, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, obey His voice, and serve Him, and cleave unto Him." And so David realizes the mess that he's in, and it's in part because of David's failure. In other words, when David was king, he should have walked into the battle with the rest of his men. But David stayed home. And so now David is facing this hill, and he's facing it because, my friend, he's walking, and he's a walking to get over top of this hill. But my friend, David couldn't go back and unfire the gun that he had in his past life. But there's one thing he can do. He can keep on walking. And David kept walking here, the Bible says. Isn't that what the Bible says for you and I to do? In other words, walk in the newness of life. Walk circumspectly. Walk by faith and not by sight. He said, walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. The Bible admonishes you and I to walk in wisdom, walk in truth, walk in honesty, walk in the light. My friend, that's what we need to do if we're going to get past the top of the hill. You see, the common denominator is this. We are to walk, simply putting one foot in front of the other. And after that, put the other foot in front of that. And we've got to keep walking. That's how David gets past the top of the hill. And I'm glad, my friend, tonight, that you don't have to be perfect to get past the top of the hill. You don't have to have all the answers to get past the top of the hill. You don't even have to enjoy walking up the hill. My friend, you don't even have to enjoy the walk. But my friend, all you got to do is keep walking. Wasn't that what God told Enoch to do? Enoch one day began to walk with God. And my friend, he said, "Come on, Enoch, come on." And my friend Enoch kept walking. He kept walking. My friend, I don't know what kind of hill you may be facing tonight or have been facing, but oh, listen, if you want to get past the top of the hill where there's help and hope and provision, what do you got to do? You got to keep walking. Amen? Keep walking. Secondly, you got to keep weeping. Look at verse 30. Not only did David walk and got past the top of the hill, but the Bible said he kept weeping. And David went up by the ascent of the Mount Olivet and wept as he went up. He's walking. He's walking. But while he's walking, he's weeping. Now, David's not like a lot of Baptists. He didn't fall by the wayside and have himself a pity party. He kept walking, but in the midst of walking, he kept weeping. He's weeping as he's walking. But notice here in verse 30, the Bible said in the middle part of verse 30, he had his head covered and he went barefoot. Now, will you look up here at me? Now, he's not walking here. We're not talking about a servant when we're talking about David. We're not even talking about a slave. We're talking about the king of Israel. But oh, listen, on this journey, in order for David to get to the top of the hill, just past the top, he's not walking as a king. He's walking as a servant. He's walking as a slave. You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Ken? He's walking, but in the midst of his walking, he's walking in humility. He's walking and he's weeping as he's walking. He's humbling himself before the Lord. Didn't the Bible say that in the Old Testament? If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves. I mean, while we're walking, Should we not humble ourselves and lay down our pride? That's our whole problem in America today. Among the people of God, we've got so much pride, we're not willing to admit that we need to lay down our pride and get on our face before God. Oh, listen to me tonight. You see, just past the top of the hill, in order to get there, you've got to keep walking. And when you walk, you've got to weep. Look here in verse 15 again. He went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head. You know what we need to do tonight? We need to lay down our pride and humble ourselves. Now listen to me. Pull our shoes off and get a little barefoot and cover our heads and get before God and tell God our needs. Amen. Repent. As I said last night, oh my. If we ever do get to the top of the hill, we've got to acknowledge, if we ever get past the top of the hill and get to the top of the hill, it'll take us laying down our pride. And that's going to involve some weeping. And we find here that the sweet psalmist, David, my friend, he's walking. But in the midst of his walking, thank God he's weeping. I believe David thought, as he's walking up that hill, and it's steep, the steepest hill that he's ever walked. But in the midst of his walking, he's weeping, and he's thinking, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Can I give you the BKR version? Don't ask me what my B stands for in my name. I don't like my first name. But you know what David, in essence, was saying? He's simply saying here, a weeping may endure for a night, but joy come just past the top of the hill. Oh, thank God. David, here in verse 26, is giving counsel to some. He's telling these how to handle when trouble comes, and David is giving some counsels how to get to the hill and how to handle things, because David, I'm convinced, realizes he didn't handle things back there when he committed those sins between him and God. But now David has got a humble attitude. Look here in verse 26. David said, "Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." David, in essence, is saying, I'm taking my hands off. I'm just going to trust God. God, you can do with me whatever you do, whatever seems right to you. And David said, if I get up this hill, or if I die on this hill, or if I don't make it to the top of this hill, God, you do unto me as seemeth good unto thee. And my friend, listen, David had a different attitude here in these scriptures. And that's our problem oftentimes. We've got the wrong attitude. In chapter 16 here, when Shimei begins throwing rocks at King David, Abishai wants to go over there and take his head off. And my friend, you know what David said? No. You let the Lord handle him. And my friend, if we ever get past the top of the hill, we're going to have to turn it all over to God. We're just going to have to give up and let God have it. We got to get rid of this attitude today. We don't need God. We need God tonight. We need to turn everything over to Him. And that's the only way we'll ever make it past the top of the hill. I want to get past the top of the hill, and I know you do, but just give it all to the Lord. He wept and he walked. But lastly, notice in verse 32, if you want to get past the top of the hill, you got to keep walking, you got to keep weeping, but you got to keep worshiping. Verse 32. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount, where he worshiped God. Now, appears here to us that David is fleeing. David is not fleeing as much from Absalom as he is fleeing to God. You know what David does as he goes up this hill? David takes a worship break. David takes a worship break. And I believe David kind of thought down in his heart as he's walking up this hill. David is saying, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help, for I know that my help cometh from the Lord. You see, David didn't know what was beyond the top of the hill. David got his eyes on the Lord, and he lifted his eyes unto the Lord. And on that other side of that hill, there was donkeys. He wasn't going to have to walk no more. And there was bread for his sustenance. There was wine for his refreshness. And all can I say, David's not the first to ever apply these principles. David walked to get past the top of the hill. David wept as he went past the top of the hill. But David worshiped as he was climbing that hill. And my friend, he made it to the other side. I think about Abraham. Abraham, God called him one day. He said, Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. And he said, go yonder to that mountain. And you know how Abraham went to the foot of that mount there, and he took that son Isaac, and he left his servants and left the animals at the foot of the mountain. And what does Abraham do? They start up that mountain. Abraham, in essence, is walking. He's doing nothing but taking one step at a time. Oh, listen, I can't help but believe that as Abraham is walking up that mountain, listen, he is also weeping. For he knew that God was up to something. Abraham knew that God wasn't playing games. Oh, I believe Abraham walked. But as he walked, he was weeping. But he knew that God wanted him to go there for a reason. You say, why was he going? Well, he'd already told the servants, you stay here while I and the lad go yonder to worship. I tell you, listen, you can stay at the foot of the mountain if you want to. You can stay down there with the animals and all of the supplies if you want to. But we've got to make a decision. If we want to go to the top of the mountain, if we want to get to the other side of the mountain, my friend, if you want to worship God, you got to leave all this other stuff behind. That's what's wrong with the world tonight. They're more involved in the things of the world than they are involved in God. I mean, you can't get some people to come back on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. My friend, they are all into the world. I tell you, listen, if you want to worship, you got to leave what's behind and go to the top of the mountain and get past the top of the mountain. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad that my friend Abraham wasn't the only one that climbed that mountain. I tell you, David was not the only one that climbed that mountain, Brother Benny. But oh, David's greatest son climbed that mountain. I read in the Bible where our blessed Redeemer and Lord went up on that mount. I mean, there in the garden, there at Gethsemane. And there in that garden, he walked into that mound. And oh, he began to pray. And he said to his heavenly Father, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, he wept there. The Bible said his sweat became as great drops of blood. He was not weeping for himself, but is weeping for the lost sons of Adam's race. And oh, listen, he said, do unto me whatever you want to do, Heavenly Father. And all that night he worshiped there. He not only walked into the garden, he not only wept for all the world, but oh, listen, he worshiped. And my friend, listen, the next thing you know, Christ is past the top of the hill. He was 3 days past the top of the hill. He not only died, He not only shed His blood, He was buried, but all 3 days later, He had passed that hill. And thank God, He's given you and I what we have tonight. Oh, just past the top of the hill, there's Him, there's hope, and there's provision. I want to ask you tonight, are you climbing that mountain? Are you climbing that hill that seems to be so insurmountable? And you don't feel like sometimes that you've got the strength to make it? Well, let me encourage you. Keep walking. In these days that we're living, when everything seems to be getting more darker and darker, and the Supreme Court says it's this way and God's wrong. Well, I'm here to tell you, God and His Word is not wrong. They're the one that's wrong, and they have no right to change what God has said. Oh, listen, when it seems like the world is changing, and my heart's changed, and my friend, there's so many things that's going on that's contrary to this blessed old King James Bible. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to just keep on walking, keep on preaching, keep on serving the Lord. But oh, my heart's broke. I'm weeping. I'm burdened for this nation. I'm burdened for Christians that don't want to stand for what's right. And oh, I tell you, I want to worship the Lord and Savior who loved me and gave His blessed Son. Thank God for me. But I'm going to keep my eyes on the hill, and I want to get just past the top of that hill. Because just past the top of the hill, Ziba met David, and he had those donkeys. He had that bread, and he had that wine. Can I tell you, if we won't give up, and we'll just keep on keeping on, thank God one day the Lord's going to take us out of here. And I thought today, I was sitting out there at the picnic table this afternoon, me and the little critter called Buddy. I was trying to get my mind on the message God wanted me to preach, and I kept looking up into the sky. It's so pretty today, blue sky. I thought, boy, right now would be a good time for the Lord to come. And boy, I tell you, any day now He could come, Brother Benny. Amen. I want to ask you tonight, are you climbing a hill? Don't give up. Don't give up. There's so many that's give up. Don't give up. Just keep walking. Just keep weeping. And just keep coming and worshiping God. I know the Word of God's preached here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. But do you know back in Eastern Kentucky, where I'm from, I'm in the mountains. I mean, I'm so far back in the sticks, you about have to pipe the sunlight in. But back there, Brother Benny, their churches don't have Wednesday night services no more. So a lot of them quit Sunday night service. All they got is Sunday morning service. And so many of them, they sing these contemporary music, and they throw them songs up on a screen, and they get up and act like a bunch of Comanche Indians. Well, I mean, I don't mean to offend nobody. Bless God, I'm glad we still sing out of the hymn books. Amen. Because them songs we sing out of the hymn book is about Him. Yes. I like them hymn books. We sing them old songs like you all sing. And we worship every Sunday morning for Sunday school, Bible study, Sunday night. We have prayer meeting before church, and then we have worship. And then on Wednesday night, I don't have prayer meeting. We pray, but I preach, bless God. I don't have Wednesday night. We ain't had a business meeting so long. I know we ain't had a business meeting this whole year. You said, bless God, if you was in my pastor, you'd have a business meeting. I tell you, business meeting ain't worth nothing. It ain't worth a dime. Amen. Most of the time. Now, I don't mean When we need to talk about business, we do get together and talk about business. But on Wednesday night, listen, we preach. Amen. 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 Right? Go back in eastern Kentucky, we shell the corn. Y'all know what that is? We just rear back and preach, brother. And that's what we ought to do. Keep walking, keep weeping, and keep worshiping. Let's stand to our feet. Brother.